podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Here we go, it's the Combine Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Compact Podcast. We're going into the Twitterverse today and I'm joined by Jay and Mick. How are we doing, fellas?
All right, Tim.
All good, mate. All good. Looking forward to this. It's been, I think we've done one a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? But we didn't get round to releasing it. So belated. And it feels like we haven't done a video for ages as well. So looking forward to getting stuck into these.
The Twitterverse. We should do like a different intro for this Twitterverse where Spider-Man comes in and just spunks all over the screen or something like that. I'll work on something like that.
Probably going to see more of this kind of stuff, I assume, over the next couple of weeks, considering Liverpool aren't actually playing. Maybe a couple of commentaries on some international games, depending on what's going on and if it's anything interesting, which is unlikely, but hey up.
Let's get stuck
Anyway, let's get into our first tweet. It is the news from the Dutch head coach about Virgil van Dijk's recovery. So according to the plan, he has 8 weeks left until he's returning to the pitch. He is supposed to be back training soon, but obviously there can be all kinds of setbacks, and obviously both Liverpool and Holland will be wanting to play it safe. Major injury like that to a major star is always a risk. So fellas, I'll come to you first, Jay. What's the feeling surrounding Van Dijk? Will we see him back in a Liverpool jersey this season?
Do you know whose fault this is? And I've had a bit of a drink and I'm going to blame Michael, because it's his fault because of all of his fucking tweets where he's calculating when Van Dijk's going to be back, and I don't do it to myself, but because I'm close to him and I read his shit and I pay attention to what he says, it winds me up. So I blame Mick. So I'm actually more excited than I should be about Van Dijk coming back. Talking serious, it's exciting to think that countdown's on now to him coming back. But again, I don't see him playing for Liverpool this season because of this injury. I really don't. Part of me has that emotional side as if we do progress to the semi-finals of the Champions League and then he's on the bench, he's named on the bench, something like that. You know, you can hear it in my voice now, I'm getting excited. The Holland thing is different, isn't it? I mean, Mick, we spoke about this the other day, didn't we, about he'll want to play in Europe in the Euros because it's what, you know, how many tournaments has he got left in him? He'll be desperate to play in that, but then there's the argument, well, we pay his wages and we're the one who's rehabbed him and stuff like that. So it's a difficult situation, isn't it, Mick?
Yeah, I mean, what, he's 30 this summer, isn't he? So it is maybe his last one if he fancies it. But I was looking before, like, how long it's going to be. So nine weeks, 4 days till the Champions League final. And yeah, Frank de Boer saying he's going to be back in 8 weeks. But if he's back in full training in 8 weeks, then it's going to be, it's honestly just not worth the risk. I'd be very surprised if he's back for us. And then if he then isn't back for us and then goes and plays on the Euros, I'd be happy for him, yeah. But I'll be shitting my pants every time he gets the ball. And like Chris has just said, that Van Dijk should not get compared to the ball in pre-season. Yeah, very true. Imagine watching him Holland games and he comes on. I'd be like, I just won't want to watch it.
Yeah, well, that is one question I was going to ask you, fellas, because obviously there is the flip side of that, and obviously having Van Dijk been out for what would have been 8 months, if this timeline is accurate, it would have been 8 months. Do we want to see him playing for Holland and getting some football under his legs before he comes back to the preseason, so that we see a full free flow in Van Dijk when the Premier League starts, or are we going to just depend on the fact that the preseason is going to be able to shake off almost what will at that point be a year of rust?
Yeah, you're sort of like thinking that the Euros could shake off the rust for him, wouldn't you? Because it is highly competitive and he probably would get his match fitness, you know, back through that tournament. So it is a catch-22 situation. It would work well in Liverpool's favour if he does play in that tournament because of what I've just said. And then he goes and has a pre-season as well. That would be really good. That's like an extended thing for an extended pre-season for him, if you like, which would be great. Obviously, like what Mick said, you know, you don't see him in the red of Liverpool, but then you see him in one of these and you're like, it just break me out. It really would. But again, as long as he comes through it unscathed, that's fine. I mean, he'll go to the tournament, certainly. He might not even play in the first game, and then you know. So, but I agree with what Chris said. He should be kicking a ball until pre-season, but that's the selfish Liverpool fan in me.
Yeah, I think we'll all be watching him with a wince if he does play for Holland. Anyway, we are going to move on to our next tweet, and that is Firmino has more goals and assists in the UCL since 2017.
You said UCL. I'm just.
Oh, well, I was just reading it.
Fine with me, Tim. Spend some time.
Go on, Tim. Sorry, mate. Read it again.
Sorry, mate. Firmino has more goals and assists in the Champions League since 2017 at 28 than Man United have appearances in the competition since 2014 at 24. So my question to you, Mick, is the fact that Diogo Jota is now back in the side and obviously most people are looking to favour him over Firmino in the starting lineup. Are we underappreciating Firmino, and could it just be the amount of minutes that he's played on those legs of his? Because he has been unbelievably available. Is that the reason that we've seen this dip in form?
Yeah, and I think we've touched on it before. I think not having any fans doesn't go in our favour in terms of Firmino as well, because he's an entertainer. And like we also said, like that game where he scored the last-minute winner against Spurs and he runs down to the cop and blowing kisses and hitting the badge and all making love hearts with his hands and all that kind of shit. That just the synchronization between him and the fans is pretty big to that. But also coupling to the fact that we're not at the same level in terms of injuries, that affects him. And also coupling to the fact that he's been playing probably too many games because of the Hotter injury, and we've been relying on that forward three a bit over reliant up until Hot has recently come back, and we can kind of interchange those two. So, yeah, we said before we'd be crazy to get rid of Bobby because he's so integral to what we've been doing, and in the games where you need someone to take the ball in a tight area and create something out of nothing, then he'd be near the top of the list for me to do that. So I'm just hoping that he gets back to that form as soon as possible. I'm hoping that coincides start of next season, maybe when we get the fans back in the stadium. Hopefully, we'll start to see the best of Bobby again.
Jay, where do you see him fitting back into the side, and would you bring him off the bench next year?
I wouldn't bring him off the bench. I think he's still a starter. If that front three stays together like we all hope it will, I think he's still a starter, because when that front three is on form and when Bobby's on form, he's unplayable. So you definitely keep him in that front three. You know, and Macca's has just said a really good point there. I think that as well as he's playing a lot of games, and Diogo Jota playing, he's a really great player. Absolutely. So we've got a really good headache there of who we play. But I don't see Klopp changing the system of the front three if the front three stay until next season. I think if Bobby's earned his stripes in this Liverpool side, and like I said before, when Bobby plays well, the team usually plays well. So it's a no-brainer for me. But I just love the fact that Diogo Jota would be pushing for his place. So it's a nice win-win situation for everybody.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note, we are going to move on to our next tweet, and that is Luis Suarez's comments on Mbappe and Haaland. Now, as Liverpool fans, we have obviously touched on the subject of who we would want, Mbappe or Haaland. I think we all said that we'd have Haaland over Mbappe at this moment in time. But my question to you, Mick, is if you couldn't have Mbappe or Haaland, which centre forward or striker or winger in world football would you be bringing in this summer?
Oh God. You might have to come back to me, you know. I'll have to think about that. If you're ready with the answer, Jay, I'll have to have a little think. Who would want?
Well, I'm not going to answer that question. What I am going to say about this situation is I love the fact that the whole conversation about it is does include Liverpool. However, I think before COVID, we were in that driving seat to buy our first £100 million player. I think it was going to happen. I think we might have been in that conversation and been serious about Haaland or Mbappe. They're going to go for over £100 million this summer if they both leave. Pre-COVID, we were on our way to do that. 100% we were on our way. Everything was going well for us with the money from the Champions League, the money from the Premier League. Everything was fantastic. The new Nike deal, and then everything just capitulated in terms of revenue and finance, which has been so heavily documented over the past 12 months. I'm not going to go into it anymore, but I don't see either one of them happening this summer because of what's gone on. Now, if there's a flip side where Dortmund and or PSG respectively realise, yes, we need to lower the price of these players, then fine, yeah, we're back in the conversation. But I don't see either player pushing for that move, if you like. I think if you, either one's going to push more, it'd be Haaland. He might want to move more than what Mbappe will. And in that case, you're talking there's only City that are going to be in for him at the, over that £100 million price. Possibly Manchester United. But with his dad being Alfinger Haaland, I can't see him going to Manchester United. Anybody who doesn't know anything about that, just Google Alfinger Haaland and Roy Keane. I'll say no more about it. Watch the footage. Then you know why, because of what happened to his dad. So he ain't going. But I just can't see it happening. I'd love it to, but just can't see it happening. Good shout from the Fan of Fan podcast. All right, boys, nice to see you tonight. Haaland to come and play for Sheffield United with his Norwegian pal, Sander Berg, and get us brought back in the Premier League. God bless Ben. God bless him. God bless him.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, he might score 100 goals in the Championship, but yeah.
He's got Brewster anyway, the selfish git. They've got Brewster.
Yeah, stop nicking our players. Anyway, I've spoken about the fact that Ollie Watkins would probably be a good guy to fill in the gap. You know, I think that Liverpool will probably be looking for a guy to sit on the bench and rotate into the front. To the front three, and for me, as much as maybe you want a young star to come in and make a big difference immediately, the way Hodda has, a name sprung to my mind recently that just made sense in terms of a Liverpool buy this summer, just because he's kind of leaning towards the end of his career, but at the same time still has all the quality in the world to be able to change the game, and that is Luis Suarez himself. I think that it wouldn't be a stupid idea to bring him back. I think he's still got all the experience, all the attributes to be a world-class striker. And when you're calling upon him, as Atletico Madrid have, off the bench, he's still, you know, in the top three scorers in La Liga, and, you know, continues to show that he is, you know, a level above the majority of the world. So, Mick, any additions to that, or any thoughts on a Luis Suarez reunion?
I think that'd be pretty good. But what's his name? Dacher. That's there been a lot of links with him as well. But like Chris has just said there, maybe Elliot comes back and allows Salah to rotate from right to centre at times. I mean, it's a big ask for a 17-year-old kid to come back in, albeit he's doing absolutely smashing it in the Championship. Was it 10 assists and 5 goals, like 15 goal contributions in a good league like that at his age is pretty good. So I would like to see him come back into the squad next summer. And I think under Jurgen Klopp, he could be as good as he wants to be. He can be one of the best in the world in 5-6 years if he wants to be. He is that good. But I just don't know where, in terms of his position, where he could fit in. And I think he might go into a midfield three eventually. On the side of a three, I think he could be really good there if having a bit of creative license in the midfield. But yeah, all the names, it's just seems like a bit of a dream at the moment, doesn't it? Like Haaland and Mbappe, if you think of Suarez, it just doesn't seem a bit realistic at the moment, especially with lack of funds and people not maybe going out and spending much money this summer. So it just depends.
Mick, fuck the realism. We're having Do you want Suarez or not?
I'll have all three. I'll have Suarez and Mbappe and Haaland, and then we'll just rotate them three with fucking Salah, Firmino and Bobby. Fuck it.
Love that.
No, it depends who we sell as well. It depends who we sell and how much money we can get for them. And then we can see who we can fucking get from there. But yeah, quite a few good names there. But like we've said, it's usually someone out of left field that we it's just a surprise that we know about, but they weren't really on anyone's periphery. That like we've seen with Hotter, we've seen for Fabinho, good players we know about, but not really linked with, and then they come in and do boss. So yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if we see something like that again.
It's true that. I mean, Liverpool have never been the type of club to bring somebody back. Once they're gone, correct me if I'm wrong, the last person I remember doing that was Robbie Fowler. And I, again, forgive me if I am wrong there, if there's somebody been more recent than that who's left and come back, but it's very rare that happens. But yeah, if talking from a completely selfish way, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to have Suarez back at Liverpool just to see him play. Because he can still do it, you know, he's just got his 500th club goal. Jay, I am, mate, I just don't care anymore. I don't care. I don't know what the rules are anymore, Chris. You know this, I spoke to this afternoon. I don't know what the rules are. No rules. I'm just getting pissed now with me shitty, you know, full kit room. I'm going to wear a full kit on this podcast next week, and Chris Kelly's going to love it. Absolutely not. There's none of that on this podcast. It'd be great to have Suarez back. I mean, I was watching LFC TV the other day, and they did the Liverpool United game in the Europa League at Old Trafford, and Coutinho, fucking hell, some of the balls he was playing and his goal was just incredible. And for a split second, I was like, but then on the flip side, I'm like, no, don't need him, it's fine. But you have moments like that, and Suarez is definitely one of those players. So anyway, sorry, Tim, next tweet.
All right, yeah, so Liverpool can make a surprise Gini Wijnaldum decision to solve Real Madrid dilemma, and it is linked to LeBron James's obviously increased involvement in FSG. Now, the one thing I'm going to talk to you guys about, because as an NBA fan, as a former basketball player, I've read into a lot of what LeBron James does, and apart from being an unbelievably good basketball player, he is a business savant, and he knows, I think, when a business opportunity arises. So obviously, with his links with Mbappe and with Nike, I think that he has a big reason to invest heavily in Liverpool over the coming years. And I think that he will probably be able to see, as the business savant that he is, that Liverpool are, once again, when healthy, will be on the edge of being back to where they were. So, again, talking in dreamland, fellas. What position would you most like to see strengthened this summer? Any amount of money. And who would you bring in? Jay.
Oh, fuck. Well, we just had the conversation, haven't we? I want to bring Haaland back.
That's up front. Would you? Is there anywhere else on the field that you would like to see strengthened? Maybe brought in another centre-back or a more expensive centre-back?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're not going to talk about Kabak for long on this, but I definitely think if he carries on performing consistently the way he does, I think we do end up signing Kabak. So for 20 million quid for a 20-year-old, yeah, you'll take that. Maybe we sign another big-name defender, I don't know, but I can't see the Gomez and Van Dijk partnership being broken up because it's been so good for us down the line. So I think you're more building for not the first 11 this time. I think you're building for the squad, because squad depth is so important, and Manchester City proved that year in, year out. Some of their bench players that are on the bench could walk into our team. Do you know what I mean? It's that. So I think we're building for the squad at the minute. So yeah, I'd like to bring in a centre back, a midfielder, and maybe a striker as well. That would be ideal. Those three, but names wise, mate, there's so many out there, isn't there? You just couldn't. But those are the three that I would strengthen. Also, you're probably going to need another backup goalkeeper, because it looks like Adrian wants to finish his career at Betis. I don't know why I pointed over there. It must be over there. I don't know. I'm getting the compass out. But yeah, I think those three positions. Sorry, Mick. Carry on.
No, I agree. It honestly all depends how we finish the season as well. Like, what's going to happen with Nat Phillips? Is Kabak going to get signed? Is Ox going to push on and do well? There's a lot of variables here. Who's going to come back in and prove the worth, because they know they're playing for the future. Like, looks like Origi and Shaq may go, so there's some money. We might get someone in there, but it just depends. Honestly, we need better quality coming off the bench. We all know that. Like Jay just said, we need like swaps. Like having Hotter back, why we needed that so much was because we needed that freshness, or him starting and Bobby coming off the bench. We needed that. And not having that really hurt us. So we need more of those type of players who can come off the bench and really give us something dynamic when we need it. So, yeah, forward players we probably need a centre half. But like I said, I don't know until what happens with what's going on at the moment. And there's a load of names you could talk about. Like Mahrez has just said there, Camavinga, and we all know how good he is, and can't believe how young he is, and he seems to have been around for ages. So there's a load of names like that where you think, will it ever happen? Because I've been kind of Cody home.
Like that one. I love that one.
Yeah, that's been talked about quite a lot, hasn't it? The kind of Cody one. I'm not sure about that, to be honest. I'm really not sure. But if it happened, I'd be made up for him, because obviously come back to his club and do well. But I feel like would he take going from a captain at a good Premier League club, playing every week, to coming and playing second fiddle to Gomez and Van Dijk? I'm not sure, but
I agree.
It'd be an interesting one this summer. It's gonna be an interesting summer in terms of what happens, because we need. There's gonna be a load of changes, and I just can't wait to see who we get. To be honest.
Mm. So the interesting thing for me is the fact that a lot of Liverpool fans have been focused, obviously, on the centre-back, obviously position for the most obvious of reasons because of the amount of injuries that we've had there this season and the problems that it's caused us. But the thing that surprises me is that no one's really focused in on bringing in a class young backup to Fabinho. I think the key has been, and I think what we've seen, that when Fab transitioned back into midfield and we had a proper defensive midfielder, I think the key that has opened and unlocked our midfield again. We've seen the best of Thiago over the last couple of games. We've seen a more attacking, free-flowing play of wing-backs. We've seen Trent kind of getting back to his best. We've seen good performances out of Andy Robertson, who was having a little bit of a slump there, kind of like when we were struggling. So why wouldn't we focus on bringing in a centre defensive midfield? And the name that jumped off to me, and I'm not sure if he plays defensive midfielder, but I've watched AC Milan a couple of times this year, and I watched both legs of the United game. Frank Kessié is young, and he reminds me very much of an Essien-type player. He's very, very influential in the midfield, really, really big in a tackle, and has that quality on the ball where you think he just has all the time in the world. So any kind of like any input on that and whether a centre defensive midfield would be a key role to fill in terms of a backup to Fab?
Yeah, mate, it's something I haven't even thought of, and you bring it up and it's like, yeah, that's a really, really good point, because like you said, when we have had Fab in there, it has been brilliant. Tony Kelly's just put in a really good point here. We definitely need another DM in the summer, especially Fabulous. Now, I don't know if that's a typo. I don't know if he's typed Fabinho and his phone has changed it to Fabulous. If it has, that's one of the best accidents ever. If it's intentional, I love it, Tony. If Fabulous is out or needs a rest, then I'd say right back to challenge Trent. Yeah, that's another interesting point, isn't it? I absolutely, when I think about it, Tim, you're right. We probably would need a backup to Fabinho, or do we use the Henderson? Because Henderson was decent in that position for a long time, wasn't he? Why Fab wasn't playing. So it's, again, have you already got the backup to Fabinho? Because Henderson's there, then Henderson can play anywhere across that midfield, can't he? Then maybe we invest in a more attacking player. Yeah, it's a nice headache to have, though. It is. So, yeah, I would probably say we do, but I don't think it'll be the priority.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to move on to our next tweet, and this is obviously looking forward to the Real Madrid-Liverpool clash. So these are two European heavyweights, and I'm actually going to follow this tweet up with a second one, and that is this, and that is Roberto Carlos's comments on Salah and Ramos regarding the upcoming clash, and he says Salah isn't going to go anywhere near him. Now, we all kind of know the history. We don't. It's a painful history for Liverpool fans. Fellas, any input? What do you expect from Salah? What do you expect from Ramos? And maybe just in general from this tie overall. I'll come to you first, Mick.
Yeah, I honestly can't wait for it. It's gonna be massive. But I just expect a Salah masterclass in that game. It's gonna be a lot of heartache and a lot of pain. Probably still quite raw for him just from that game and coming up against Real Madrid. I imagine we're going to see Torres-like energy. The 4-0 where Torres was just on fire. I'm hoping we see a Salah like that in those games. But yeah, it's going to be boss. I can't wait. It feels like we've had ages out of game at the moment. So that seems like quite a long way. Because what are we? Another 2 weeks away from playing Arsenal, or just under 2 weeks away?
Yeah.
And then we've got obviously Real Madrid game. So it seems like a long way away, but yeah, I honestly can't wait. I don't know what Carlos is on about. Does he mean Salah's not going to go near him in terms of on the pitch and try and stay away from him? Is that what he means?
Probably.
I don't know why he would. I'm sure he'd want to skin him and hit one top corner and just go and scream in his face and say "fuck you, you know," something like that. So I'm open for something like that. That'd be a dream scenario, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. I'm so excited for the game. I made up we got that draw because, you know, it's one of them things, isn't it, where we've wanted our revenge for a while with that. But actually, having said that, I think this will probably say it better.
What, you think you can rely on that crane crap?
Well, I did pretty well with it last time.
Hey, wake up and smell the coffee, Mr. LaRusso. Last time you weren't fighting this.
You don't get it, do you?
Visualize! This is not a bunch of sticks and pipes anymore. This is a living, breathing, fighting machine that wants to detach your head from the rest of your body!
It's blood. So what? Make believe it's his.
This guy wants to break you, humiliate you, stomp you into the ground! Now what are you gonna do about it?
Now!
Then do it! Oh, yes! You did it!
I did it!
You did it! You nailed it! You nailed it! Oh, you're ready! You're ready!
I'm ready!
Oh, man! Woo!
That's all I can say about that one. That's all I can fucking say about that. That's what's going to happen. That's the pep talk right now. The crane crap, Bale, overhead kicks, that's not fucking happening. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting battle between Ramos and Salah. And that's what it's all going to be about. And I'm so glad Martin Tyler will not be commentating on it. I'm really, really, really glad, because they just give us a history lesson about Kiev. But it's going to be very interesting between Salah and Ramos. And I really hope we'll probably see the best performance ever from Mo Salah in these two legs.
Yeah, well, the one thing I do want to mention about this tie is that this has been the focus of it. It's all been about Salah versus Ramos, and will he get revenge, or will Ramos be able to smile like a cheeky bastard in his face again? But I think that there's an interesting kind of thing in play here, where Liverpool have to play Man United and Arsenal before and after both legs, and Real Madrid have El Clasico in between the two. So, Mick, how much do you reckon that those games affect, and how do the managers deal with such big games? What kind of squad changes do you see happening? And obviously, Madrid are still in the running for La Liga. Do they prioritise that, or are they prioritising the Champions League?
I can't see them resting players for an El Clasico. I think they'll just go big guns in all games. I'd be surprised if they didn't do anything but that, and it'd be the same for us, because albeit we're outside chance of still getting top four, if we beat Arsenal on that first game back, I suppose that kind of determines it. If we lose that, maybe then Klopp goes, well, fuck it, we might as well just go for the Champions League now. If we win that Arsenal game, then I imagine he'll probably still stick with the big guns, because we need to get as many points in the league as we can to try and get into that top four, so we're not relying on winning number seven, albeit we all want to. But yeah, it's going to be, like I said, I'd be surprised if they rest anyone. I mean, they haven't got quite the squad they used to, but they've still got a good team, haven't they? And like you said, they're still in the running for the La Liga, so they can't really afford to. Pretty much the same as us, because we can't afford to really. I mean, like I said, it depends if we want to throw all our eggs in one basket, and I suppose that Arsenal game might determine that, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's a good point that you just made there, Mick. Is this is still Real Madrid at the end of the day? As much as we laugh and joke and take the piss, and you know they aren't the side that they were in 2018. That was a really, really great side again. But again, it was coming to the end, just like the Galacticos were. They were coming off the tail end of it before they rebuilt. We still got to be vigilant, still got to be careful. Like they're still chasing things. We're trying to chase Chelsea down for that top four place. So, you know, we've really got to be careful. But again, on the flip side to it, when you look at it, pound for pound and position versus position, you would say that we are the better side. All right, maybe the centre backs doesn't cut the mustard like. But this is still a game that we can win, Tim. And I honestly, for a two-legged affair, I mean, I would have loved to play Real Madrid in the final and hopefully get revenge that way. But to play in two legs and try and knock them out again like we did in 2008-09, brilliant.
All right. Well, just to finish off here, fellas, we're going to end with a couple of tweets. Just a happy birthday to the man himself. The last time there was a Champions League final in Istanbul, he pulled off, I think, a double save? I can't remember. It was just a little bit spectacular, just about this much. Just quickly, favorite Dudek moment, guys.
Oh, fucking hell! Go on, Mick, you go first.
It's got to be that, hasn't it? And then obviously saving the penalty against Shevchenko as well. That night was just mad, because there were so many players that you thought just aren't good enough, and he just had a worldie, like Smita scoring, Dudek pulling off saves like that, Jimmy Traore just fucking those long legs, just clawing everything away. Just players just stepped up to the plate, and it was just meant to happen that night. But yeah, do that. It's got it, that best moment. It's got to be one of those two moments in that final, because he was just. I still can't believe he saved it. To be honest, I absolutely can't believe it. Like,
with his eyes closed as well, he's like that.
Yeah, he just. To be honest, it was Shevchenko being a knobhead. Really, he should have put that away. That second chance. Imagine that was Barros that did that, and Deedon made that save. We'd be absolutely fuming, wouldn't we? If we ended up losing it off that. But yeah, go down as a legend just for that game, and obviously the Al. Spaghetti legs in the final year, and Chris being 4 foot off the line for the pens, yeah, that helped as well. And as well have been on the fucking pen spot, he was that close to them.
Yeah, not arguing with that, mate. It's got to be that.
All right, so just a final tweet just before we end. Just a reminder, Everton haven't won anything for 26 years. All right, Jay, you want to take us away?
Yeah, mate, that's fucking brilliant, that is. But before we go, fellas, Tim, I'm going to fire a couple at you, mate. Mate, honestly, some really, really good tweets there, mate. That 1995 one's brilliant. But Tony Kelly's been really good in the comments. He's come up with some really good stuff. And Tony, when we do the Twitterverse, mate, this is what we usually do. We go through the tweets and then we look at some of the comments. He mentioned before about... Tsimikas, he's been linked with Napoli. So I'm just going to go to you quickly, Tim. Tony mentioned about Tsimikas, he's being linked with Napoli. I don't see him leaving. I think he gets at least another season with Liverpool. What do you reckon?
I think that he'll be wanting to... He's been unlucky so far. Another guy that's been seemingly constantly injured. He's had COVID. So I think he'll be wanting to prove himself in the Premier League. I think he's had a taste of what it's like to play, and he's made a couple of appearances. But I doubt that he will... personally himself look at his time with Liverpool and go, yeah, I'm done here, I'm just going to go and play at Napoli. I think that he'll fancy himself, you know, he probably sees Andy Robertson as the best left back in the world, and he's probably fancy himself to push him for playing time and challenge himself in that way, or at least as a professional. I would assume that that's the way he thinks. Yeah. Then again, if Napoli are going to offer him a starting spot, you can't blame him for leaving. It's a good club, you know, you're playing in a good league, and obviously that kind of offer of potentially playing in the Champions League again. So, yeah I see him staying, but who knows?
Fair enough. Mick, another comment from Tony saying Nabil Fekir is linked, prices around 30 million instead of 53. I've not seen the link. I've just seen a couple of Nabil Fekir videos floating around where it's like, oh my God, we missed out on him and stuff like that. I couldn't give a shit about Nabil Fekir. But Tony's brought it up saying about that he's been linked. Mick, is that an avenue you think that Liverpool should pursue?
I mean, it'd be a bit mad, wouldn't it? Because he's getting a bit. He's not getting on, but I think he's getting towards 28 now. So I'm not sure. But if we can get him for the cup price, I mean, I haven't seen a link, to be honest. I mean, after all the shit that happened with it the first time round, I'd be surprised if we go back again after all that. But yeah, there's no doubt on his quality. But yeah. To be honest, I've kind of just took my mind off all transfers at the minute, because there's that fucking many, because everyone's in lockdown, everyone's bored shitless, everyone's just doing fucking transfer roulette, spin it, pick a club, go ahead, put it on that. But I'm sure if we've got a list of high quality attacking midfielders, he'll be on it, won't he? Let's be honest, because he is that good.
He is. Last one from Tony. Who do you think the dark horse is for the competition between Porto and Chelsea? If don't write them off. Tim, you cover that one quickly, mate. You can't write either of them off, can you? Because they deserve to be where they are in the competition.
Yeah, I think they've both got a decent shot of getting to the final. I think that both sides, I think the other side of the finals is more heavily to kind of, you favour Bayern or City to get through. You don't really look at the other two teams, whereas as much as kind of like you give Porto like a smaller chance of getting through, you know, they're a good team, and you know, if they get going, they go on a run, it wouldn't surprise you if they went and got to a final, you know, some sort of miracle season. We're in the middle of a COVID thing, there's no fans. So yeah, it's hard to say a dark horse, because some people could look at Liverpool and say that they're the dark horse based on their form this season, so, and all the injuries they've had. So if I had to pick one, it would be Chelsea. I think Porto's probably more of a, you know, a Hail Mary kind of miracle kind of team more than a dark horse. I think Chelsea have the quality but aren't really being looked at in that manner. So I'd lean more towards Chelsea.
Superb, mate. Last one. Buying an Origi shirt if he wins is number 7, I swear to God. Yeah, absolutely. Doubt he'll set foot on the in the final, to be fair. But yeah, so yeah, listen. Yeah, so Tim, you do the sign off, mate, and then the last thing I'm gonna play is that video. So go on.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us for the Into the Twitterverse. We'll be back soon. Takes away.
What, you think you can rely on that crane crap?
Well, I did pretty well with it last time.
Hey. Wake up and smell the coffee, Mr. LaRusso. Last time you weren't fighting this.
You don't get it, do you?
Visualize. This is not a bunch of sticks and pipes anymore. This is a living, breathing, fighting machine that wants to detach your head from the rest of your body.
It's blood. So what? Make believe it's his.
This guy wants to break you, humiliate you, stomp you into the ground. Now what are you gonna do about it?
No!
Then do it! Oh, yes! You did it!
I did it!
You did it! You nailed it! You nailed it! Oh, you're ready! You're ready!
I'm ready!
Oh, man! Woo!
Podcast Network.